Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darling. It's so beautiful to be back here with you. And I just want to say, first of all, before we dive in, I'm so grateful for you. I really am. I'm really grateful that you're on this journey with me, that you tune into these episodes. It really means so much to me. So thank you. I actually just recorded a whole episode that I was going to release and then decided I didn't want to do it. So I'm back. And I'm just wanting to be real with you guys for a little bit. I had planned to do something a little bit more polished and then was like, I don't want to do that right now. So we're just going to go with what is true right now in my system. With the intention of being real with you guys and kind of humanizing everything, plus humanizing myself, I guess. As you guys know, so I moved back to London in March from Cape Town. And Thomas and I have been in London since then, kind of like in and out, doing bits of house sitting and stuff, trying to explore the UK and trying to figure out where we want to be. And my intention for coming back to the UK, in all honesty, when we first decided around Christmas time last year, was like, I'm kind of ready to like commit to a location, to like build some foundations, to find a space where I feel like I can kind of grow from, you know, like I'd spent like 4-ish years post banking, traveling a little bit, being in Mexico City, then being in Cape Town, like in and out of the UK. And I was really feeling this urge to commit to a place. And I wasn't entirely sure that Cape Town was the place, and I was missing home and I was missing my family. So I was like, okay, it's time to come home. So we came back in March, and it's been a really interesting experience for me in multiple different ways. The first piece has been, I've actually been met in myself with a huge amount of grief in coming back, which might sound slightly counterintuitive, but in truth, I came back to London with this idea that all of my people were in London. Like that I had been feeling perhaps like a little bit unsure of my footing in Cape Town, and like once I got to London that all my people were here and that I'd have this sense of belonging and all this stuff would suddenly be sorted. And I got back, and I mean, it's so obvious when I think about it. The fact that I didn't even think that it might be slightly challenging is kind of comical. But I came back, and after like 4-ish years of being in and out of the UK, like life has moved on, you know, both for me and for a lot of the people that were in my world when I used to live here. And it's been a really interesting experience for me to recognize that like I've really changed since I was last here permanently. And that I'm not entirely sure of where I fit anymore, which is quite a scary experience to go through when you come back to your home. And there's this sense that like, okay, home is home and it should feel good and like home. And to be a little bit like, I'm not entirely sure of my footing here. So there's been this experience of grief around the loss of a previous version of myself and a previous version of life that I lived here. And it's funny because I was actually talking to some old friends about this a few weeks ago, about like almost this nostalgia for the period of my life when I lived here, or not, they weren't having nostalgia for the period of my life. They were having nostalgia for the periods of their lives. But like the period in our 20s, when everyone was kind of on the same page and we were all like single or like early dating and having jobs and going out for dinners and things, and having this real sense of nostalgia for that and this grief that that period of my life is over and that that version of me doesn't really exist anymore. And I feel myself at times like clinging to her and wanting to go back to her, but recognizing that she doesn't exist or she doesn't want to be birthed through me currently. Like there's a different version of me that is currently present, which is quite gritty to sit with, in all honesty. And the second piece is, this is like comical, this could literally be the story of my life, but as I mentioned, when we came back, my intention, like I'd said to Thomas over and over, like I really want us to be like building something, and like, you know, I want us like build a home, and I'm kind of like done with living in like Airbnbs and renting and da, da, da. And we got back here and we've been like obviously looking around the UK to a certain degree, doing this house sitting stuff, trying to figure out where to live. I cannot, for the life of me, commit to a location. Like, I am being hit over the head internally by my own stuff around choosing a place and committing. And it's so funny because this has literally been the story of my life. Like, committing to anything for me feels like death. Maybe I won't go that extreme, but it is really difficult for me to commit to things. Now, part of this, I'm sure, is my own attachment stuff. Fear of closeness, fear of being locked into things, fear of feeling trapped. Good old Lucy avoidant over here feels a little bit boxed in very easily. So part of it is that. Part of it is not wanting to let go of the other potential paths. And that is the piece that for so many of us keeps us like locked into indecision and doubt. Part of it's also because I'm a Gemini and a manifesting generator. So that's the side piece. I think that just energetically I am like meant to be living 16 million lives all at once, and choosing one is very difficult. But I'll go back to the piece about choosing a path and the grief around losing the ones that we don't choose. And for me, it really honestly, like every time I get close to choosing a direction, my mind's like, but what happens if the other one is better? And this obviously keeps us trapped in loops. This sense of like, okay, optimization. Like, what if there's something that's better over there? What if this other country is better? What if Thailand would be better? What if moving back to Cape Town would be better? What if like living in a village, like co-living with people would be better? What if staying in the flat in London would be better? Like, it's this constant striving for optimization that I think so many of us have when we've been quite high achieving. Like, desire to optimize life must be the most optimum path. And in some ways, I think that like the spiritual stuff or the like proliferation of spiritual language has in some ways not helped, because there's this sense of like, is it the aligned path? Is it the most aligned path that I'm here versus somewhere else? And should I be like, would I be living a truer life if I was over there versus over here? And for those of us who have tendencies towards indecision, anxiety, commitment phobia, this stuff is the bane of our existence, because it can keep us trapped in not doing anything. And now I think that there is a space in life for non-doing, 1,001,000%. There is a space to sit in the void of not knowing. And in many ways, I think I'm in that space right now of like, okay, I'm in a void space. There are a lot of moving parts. We're not sure. And can I sit in the indecision of like, right now, in a world that is obsessed with people moving forward and having made decisions and doing things, especially as a woman who is 36, there's a lot of like, are you going to have a baby? Are you going to get married? You better hurry up, all of that stuff. There's a lot of pressure. So there can be this piece of like, okay, I'm just in a void space right now. And that is okay that I'm not 100% clear. And can I just sit in that indecision and recognize that an answer will come when an answer is ready to come? That is the first piece, which could, for a lot of us, can feel really uncomfortable to sit in the not knowing, in the like, oh, it doesn't feel 100% clear, but I'm just going to sit here. The other piece for us commitment phobes that I have found very helpful, and this goes into more like attachment-y style stuff, is if there is genuinely a real fear of commitment because commitment feels unsafe to a certain degree, or it feels like we're going to lose a part of ourselves because committing to something means that we don't then have an option or we feel trapped. Like, I'm the girl who, when I was like a child, couldn't ever imagine myself holding hands with a man because I was like, oh my God, like that would be terrifying. And I got the ick with my first boyfriend when I was 11. Like, oh my God. I mean, boyfriend, we went on like one date, but you know what I mean, 11-year-old boyfriend. So for those of us who have this like commitment stuff of it feeling quite unsafe to commit to things and wanting to keep our options open, there can be a big fat exhale in choosing to commit to something for a short period of time. Like, to choose to be like, okay, if I'm in a space of doubt around this thing, can I wholeheartedly, without any doubt, I am not allowed to even entertain the doubt thoughts, can I commit to this for 1 month? Maybe it's 1 week. Maybe it's a day, depending on how intense the experience is. Can we break it down into like, okay, I'm just fully in for this short period of time? And then once we've done that short period of time, maybe we stretch it a little bit further. I'm fully in for this other period of time. And we keep stretching. The reason I want to say this is because for a lot of us, commitment feels really, really scary. And I think often what people do instead of acknowledging that commitment feels really scary is just ignore it or bypass it or totally dissociate and just ignore the fact that they are making a massive commitment to something. I sometimes think about this with weddings. I'm like, how many people here are actually aware of the fact that they are signing a document that makes them legally bound to another person for the rest of their life? Like, obviously, there is a capacity for divorce, but still, that is a huge decision. And it baffles me how people do that without having some form of terror. Maybe they do. But anyway, going back to the point I was making, I think it is incredibly helpful to, if you're in a space of indecision, if you're feeling a lot of like, oh, what if this isn't right? Da, 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 da. Can you fully in, go fully, 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 fully in for a week, a month, 2 months, and just play with stretching your capacity to hold the commitment to something? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a person you're dating. Maybe it's a house. And recognize that in that period, you're just choosing that 100%. 100, 100, 100%. And in that, we're stretching our nervous system's capacity to commit to something. And you might think, oh, but what happens if I commit to something and then it's actually not right? Well, in my experience of this, I remember doing this for the first time when I was debating leaving London and going to Mexico. And I was like, oh, I don't know, should I be here? Should I be there? I don't know. And I, for like 2 weeks, I woke up every morning and I said to myself, I am choosing to be in London. I am choosing to be in London. I am choosing to be in London. And after 2 weeks, a little voice popped up and was like, you don't want to be here anymore. But that voice only popped up because I had fully committed. When there's like a door out of any decision, I don't think there's space for our truth to come through. This is just coming to me now. But I think it's true. Because when we fully go in, we're faced with the fear, we alchemize the fear, and once we've alchemized the fear, the truth can arise. So that's where I'm at. I have no huge takeaway here. I don't have a like nice neat box to tie everything up in, but I'm hoping that you take something from this. I'm hoping that if you're in a space of indecision, if you're in a space of going back somewhere and feeling the grief of time passing, if you're feeling in any way confused or lost, that this is a salve to you. It would mean so much to me if you can rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. It's so, so helpful. And if you could share an episode with a friend, if there's an episode you particularly liked, that would mean the world to me. And with that, I will leave you here, my sweet love. If any of this has touched you and you're feeling like, oh God, there's all this relational stuff that I haven't looked at and it's coming up, just pop me a note. I have a few spaces for one-on-one opening up and I would love to walk alongside you. Sending you so much love, and I will speak to you soon.